Greetings, citizens of Earth. You are barking a happy tune with my pal Smurf of Smurf and the Magic Tones on 5280 Geek.
Live from the Figgis Studios, it is Weekend Geek Update. Smurf here, returning to enlighten you with what's going on in the Geekverse over the last couple of weeks. Hopefully you got a chance to listen to my interview with the 420 comic last week from the All Seas Fan Expo. That dude, Jeffrey Peterson, is freaking hilarious. There was so much that him and I talked about off mic that I really wish that I could have just kept the mic on him all weekend. Of course, he's a stand-up, and you know, I'm sure that's part of just the gig. But it's also, I think, a lot of his personality. The dude's hilarious, and of course, him and I actually know a lot of the same people, and surprisingly enough that he was very genuine. He was kind of fun, so we may end up seeing him again in town. Him and I were talking about a couple of different events that were coming up that might surprise you, but I don't want to spoil anything, and I don't want to speak out of turn because nothing's solid yet, but hopefully what we're talking about we can actually accomplish, and it'll be fun. So we'll keep you in the loop on that. Now, our sponsor, who is tremendously talented, wickedly awesome, and just a bright side of any kind of cloudy day you can imagine. I'm talking about Suzy Q's. She is our sponsor for the Weekend Update podcast, and she is the finest jewelry maker you will find this side of Saturn. She has some incredible talent, and it comes out in her works. Go to SuzyQs.com. You'll see everything that she can produce, and she is on fire right now. But get your order in quick, because I know she's already taken stuff for Christmas, because it does take a little time to create what she does. It's not something off of an assembly line. She is a master blacksmith, and we will have to have her on soon, because I really want to talk to her in depth about, you know, just everything that she does, because she does some really, wow. I wish I was that talented. I'm not even close. I just talk for a living. So check out SuzyQs.com. The link is in the description, and go to the Facebook page. Follow her on Instagram. Pick up something you like for someone you like. There you go. What else is going on? So it's been a weird couple of weeks, and there's a lot to get to, but there isn't. It's more of just kind of like more rehashing, realigning, and things that kind of go squish. I mean, it's really all I can say. It's things that go skish. First of all, and the reason I say skish is because The Boys is finally done. I'm not going to try any spoilers, but just in case, spoiler alert, season 2 was tremendously impressive. I know the crew and the cast and everybody sent a hearty thank you to Amazon for not censoring anything and letting them just basically tell this story. And what a story it is. And just everything that has gone on. I didn't see the end coming the way it did, and Starlight ends up looking like a Briss. But you know, hey, that's just the way it goes. The characters are, I almost want to say they're better than the comics, and I say that kind of tiptoeing around it because there are certain things that I did love in the comic, and Garth Ennis's building of this world and these characters. I mean, the man does not disappoint, but then there's the step into the comic world, and it is far from predictable, and the characters, I think, I mean, again, this goes back to that argument that I told you about, does absolute power corrupt absolutely? I'd love your input on it, because I, as a, I don't know, optimist, not the eternal optimist, but I'm optimistic in certain areas, that it doesn't, and the problem is you're starting to see Starlight kind of sway into that grayer, darker area. But there is a lot of redemption. There are some Daredevil great moments that you're like, wow, okay, that was way better than I thought it was going to be. So Stormfront, definitely, yeah, she's a bitch. But got to watch it if you haven't. Please do. I'm not, like I said, no spoilers, but spectacular. Oh, and I had to watch it twice, right back to back, because I was just beside myself. And it moved so fast, too. Those 8 episodes went by in a blink, even last night, or even the episode of episode 8 for season 2. Yeah, I got to remember how many episodes there were. Was just gone quickly, so quickly. But I mean, I guess that's good writing, that's good development, that's good on all fronts. So yeah, if you haven't watched it yet, you're missing out. If you haven't watched it twice, what kind of fan are you? Speaking of, what else? Oh, this cracked me up. So coffee. This cracked me up because this show didn't make it past episode 2. Sorry, I had to adjust my chair. Someone was in the booth before I was in the studio. It's kind of funky. Got to make adjustments. So this show, episode 2, it gets canceled. I mean, and I remember this last year because all of us just basically just laughed our asses off because we knew this was going to happen. But Swamp Thing ends up coming into the CW, and I think just basically as a filler, because the CW has nothing on the side of DC that they can put out right now. And let's face it, we would have probably already seen, you know, at least Flash, Supergirl, and I want to say Legends, but I think Legends was going to be later in the season. Black Lightning most likely would have been the opening volley for the CW. But we got nothing. So they bring this show from the DC Direct webpage, the now defunct streaming service for DC. And its first episode aired last week. I don't have any judgments on it yet, because it's the first episode. It didn't really rally me to want to continue, but just because of lack of viewing options, I really don't have a choice. So, and I am a little bit on the curious side. I do like Swamp Thing. I have enjoyed his character in the comics and his different portrayals over the years. There is a story there. Where? I don't know. I think the grass grew over it. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. I'm going to watch it, and this may be painful. This might not. I don't know, but I'll let you know at the end and as the weeks progress, because, you know, that's what I do. The other bright side, speaking of the CW, HBO Max does not get Stargirl for season 2, which exclusively, which made me over the moon happy. I loved that show. I don't know if they can capture lightning in a bottle again, because I really think, and I've mentioned this before, the driving force behind this was the villains. It wasn't the heroes. Their story, as interesting as it was, and gathering everybody together and the let's rally to defeat the bad guy, was more driven by the bad guys and the inner workings and the turmoil between all of them. So I'm curious if they'll be able to do that a second time, because I know there's more characters, there's more to the Legion of Doom, or Masters of Evil, or whatever they're calling them. The Evil Society, the bad guys. We'll see what they do for season 2. I'm wildly optimistic. Usually, the first 2 seasons, the CW shows do fairly well. It's right around season 3 and 4, like Flash, I forget which season it was where they had the Thinker, which is total bomb. Ugh, that was just, ugh. And I forgot when Legends of Tomorrow, I think it was the end of season 3 that they just got kind of ridiculous. It's still a fun show to watch. Worth watching, no problem. But Swamp Thing, jury's still out. So if you enjoyed Stargirl as much as I did, you get look to forward to her coming back to the CW, and you don't have to go out and get HBO Max streaming services right away, which is good. It's actually really good. What else? Speaking of streaming services and HBO Max, this kind of upset me, because as much as I want to see this, The Witches with Anne Hathaway was announced for a surprise October debut on the HBO Max series. So this looks awesome. I am so on board with seeing this, but I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to watch it. The one show that I would love to see, and I think the last time we saw this in theaters was 1990, way back then. So that sucks. It really does. There are some, I guess, some other, actually looking at the trailer, looks star-studded. I think Olivia Spencer was in there. I know Anne Hathaway is in there, of course, because that is, you know, little crush. No hiding that. But they're taking Rodal's classic, and this, I think, deserved a sci-fi upgrade, at least as far as effects and everything else. I remember, I don't think I was too impressed with the Angelica Houston version back in the 90s. I was just kind of like, eh. And let's face it, Rodal does need a certain kind of, you know, special effects oomph to tell his stories, because they're so involving and just so dark and twisted. Still going to say James and the Giant Peach is my favorite, but this does deserve a certain amount of attention. I haven't gotten a date yet when in October. I wouldn't be surprised if we see it relatively soon. The trailer looked just wow, jaw-dropping wow. And, of course, the man, Stanley Tucci, is in it. You can't miss a film that has Stanley Tucci in it. He's just so lovable and just fun to watch. I really do dig him as an actor. And, of course, Anne Hathaway. But as this comes out, and I'm hoping I'll have somebody's HBO Max account by then, even though I have HBO, I got to get that all worked out. It's a pain in the ass. Just kind of watch it on HBO, please. It's all I want. But yeah, that was a little annoying. So why can't you just put it on HBO? Just do it. No, got to be a pain. That's fine. I get it. It's all about the almighty dollar. In other TV goings on, this just kind of popped in. And, well, I didn't just pop in. I just kind of forgot. Walking Dead was going to air its final episode for season 10. And it was interesting. The casualties from my perspective could have been more. Could have been a little bit more. Yeah. I don't know. It just seems like everybody got out alive, which, there's like one character that I was just like, now, which one was that? And maybe it's just because I haven't watched it in so long, I have to revisit to see who that was that died that I'm supposed to care about, that Carol just left. And I mean, just left hard. But at that point, what are you going to do? And it was kind of neat how they brought the whole horde in to take on everybody, and I really liked the whole portrayal of the Whisperers, and Beta was just, God, I would not want to tangle with that guy. The best thing about it is this, the interaction at the end of the episode between Negan and Daryl was just, it was classic, absolutely priceless. So if you haven't watched it yet, at least watch that final segment when all of that goes to the end. But it just so, I mean, it was such a great build up, decent story, but just kind of a wah-wah at the end. Of course, the big news, and if you haven't seen a trailer yet, you may or may not know this, but of course, Maggie's triumphant return to the, you know, last moment possible to save a character. Well, it was well-timed, and it's good to see Maggie back. Maybe we'll, you know, get to see what she was up to, you know, off. But we do, at the end, see the introduction of the New World Order and Eugene running into them with his little cavalcade of heroes. So I'm excited to see how they're going to end everything with season 11. I don't think that there are too many loose ends. I mean, we get kind of like a teaser with Rick in a flashback at the end. The fate of his movies and all of that still kind of hanging out there, in addition to with Michonne and her getting her movie deals or her joining Rick. That remains to be seen. We don't know, of course, with the Rona affecting everything across the board. It's any man's guess at this point when we'll see it, how we'll see it, and how it's going to break down. We're so far off from the comic at this point, there's really no comparison. There really isn't. Because as much as I want to say, well, this happened differently here and there, we departed from the comic book ages ago. The characters, the development, their roles, everything just kind of... I mean, some of them are still kind of in their niche, their storylines from the comics, but I mean, we've taken a tangent off of that ages ago, so doing comparisons, damn near impossible. But I can see where they'll wind this up to emulate the comics. So I'll be curious to see if they try to do that, and if Kirkman really wants to honor the comic that way, or if he's got an entirely different idea. Also, speaking of Kirkman, this trailer hit, and holy moly, Invincible, one of the most, I don't know, I think it was like for an indie comic out of nowhere, and Kirkman was still kind of relatively unknown. He wasn't as much of a powerhouse. Everybody was on board for Walking Dead. He comes up with this idea for Invincible, and now we get the movie. Well, not movie, show. Amazon's got it. And to see this kind of come up is a bit of a surprise. I know that it was in production and we talked about this, but it seems like ages ago when this story first was kind of a rumor. And it follows along with, like, you know, why The Last Man? Do we get more information? Just this has gone back and forth. Everyone's fought over it. Not everyone's sold on the idea. Blah, 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 blah. Well, now here we are, 2021, and we're finally going to see the end result of all these rumors. Now, instead of a live action, they have gone to an animated style, which I think for this vehicle of storytelling works very well. I mean, this cartoon, not for children. Not even close. Don't let your kids watch this. Well, maybe you should watch it first and then you be the judge. Because if this follows any kind of storyline from the comic, it is a little gory, a little over the top. It's, I wouldn't say in the same vein as The Boys, but there are some elements that you may not want your kids to see just yet. But like I said, that depends on how they've adapted this to the screen from the book. The comic is great. It ended a few years ago, so we have a full... This thing has ran its course. There's only the adaptation to see, similar to The Boys, but with the animated style and the trailer that I saw, I do think they've decided to follow the comic relatively closely, and that's fine. I'm sure Kirkman was all on board for it. How much input or how much in the writing room he was, I have not seen yet. And I haven't seen a release date. All that was 2021. But the animation style does look very anime influenced, but mostly from like the Warner Brothers Justice League series in that style. And it very, very close emulation to what we saw in the comics. So it totally pays homage to the book. Totally, it's taking that story into consideration. I'm actually excited to see this. I don't think this will be a fail by any stretch of the imagination. Amazon definitely is stepping up where it needs to in the storytelling department. I'm thoroughly impressed with what Amazon delivers. There's more hits than misses for me on this, so. And I'm sure as more trailers come out, we'll kind of be able to discern when and what, and maybe it'll be at the beginning of the year. Who knows? I don't. But it will be worth watching for at least the first couple of episodes, guaranteed. And yeah, Wow. Totally cool. What else have we got? In con news, that's right, there's conventions going on. Not only did we just wrap up with the All Seas Fan Expo last weekend, which was tremendous. It was great to just get out. Jerry was our special guest for Artist at the Table, did some sketches, had some fans come by. So thank you for that. We appreciate all of everyone who listens, who helps, you know, keeps this wheel turning, because, you know, we're more than a podcast. We're a way of life. But Jerry was absolutely just thrilled to do sketches for people. He was like, yeah, I don't care. I'll do it. Sold some prints and intermingling with fans and people. I think everyone was just excited to get out. So we did get a guest announcement for Rocky Mountain Con. And whoo, doggy, this is a whopper. Rags Morales is going to be the special guest for Rocky Mountain Con this year. And honestly enough, I have never met Rags. I thought about it, and I was like, did I? No, I don't think I have ever met Rags. Of course, Rags has a very illustrious career. He served some time with Valiant back in the day. And, I mean, his big, huge hits, of course, was Action Comics, Volume 2, when it came back. He was doing the art on that, in addition to The Blackest Night. Of course, yes, the Green Lantern side. Totally, like, yes, I'm going to get some Green Lantern books signed by him. I might even whip out a blank variant cover to have Rags do a sketch on, I'm thinking. I've got a green blank cover that needs, I mean, granted, it's Morrison's Green Lantern that's going on right now, but to miss the chance to have Rags do a Green Lantern sketch cover on that, it's too tempting. I can't say no, but I'll let you know what I decide on that. So there is going to be limited space available. Tickets are only $10 for Rocky Mountain Con. But with the Rona going on and taking into account for social distancing, I know that there is going to be a cap on just how many people are allowed in. Go to RockyMountainCon.com. Tickets should be up. If you are looking to be a vendor of an artist type or a seller, reach out. I know that there are some tables still available from my conversation with Tim a couple weeks ago, but if they are not filled, get in. At least it's a chance to get out and, you know, stretch your legs a bit. If there is, like, capacity right now, I know we'll put you on a waiting list and just roll you in case someone decides to not make it or pull out at the last minute. And that happens. Everyone's kind of, their schedules are changing. The world's gone sideways on just about everybody. But it's a chance to see Rags and to go out. We will be there. We will have a table, and Red will be coming back to the con circuit. She hasn't told me what she's going to bring yet, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Boo related. And she's got some new art. She sent me some images just the other day, and girl's on point. She's got skills. If you're not watching her on her YouTube channel, you should be. It's entertaining. It's fun. And, of course, she will be there selling some of her booze. I know she'll have prints. As I get more information from her, I'll spread it along. But your chance to see Red, since she's been in hiding is as long as everybody else has. So to get out and to do a con together again, it's going to be like old times. Going to be awesome. November 17th, 15th, 17th? Yeah, 15th through the 17th? Or 17th, 18th? God, I forget. I'm horrible with dates today. Good Lord. What is wrong with me? November 14th and 15th. Jeez almighty. I had to stop and just, like, think for a second. Like, what is the date? I don't even know what today's date is. That's how bad it is. I've lost track. It's all this long hair. It's getting in the way. It's in my eyes. I need a haircut. It's a little out of control. If you haven't seen it, you can watch the Restaurants That Help Us Survive the COVID video that I did for K Plus Pot. K Plus Hot Pot. Yeah, it's it's a little wild. A little, ah, cha-cha-cha. Anyway, also, and this isn't really too con related, but I'm intrigued just because of who it is, and I'm really upset that it's not in person, because I'd really love to see this guy in person and just kind of pick his brain. But Matthew McConaughey is doing a online, basically a night with him celebrating the launch of his debut memoir, Green Lights. And I'm like, okay, I didn't know he was writing one. But when I stopped and I thought about it, I'm like, Matthew McConaughey has had probably a very interesting life. And his philosophy is so, I don't know, I don't want to say enlightening, but it really does make you stop and go, you know, that's, I kind of get on with that. It's, yeah, I've heard him speak, and he's very, and maybe it's just that smooth southern drawl he's got, but we used to make fun of his Lincoln commercials, you know, we would be off mic, and it was just kind of like we were joking, like basically Matthew McConaughey just showed up and started talking about Lincoln, and nobody really wanted to tell him to stop, but he just kind of just showed up and then wouldn't leave. Because he's always, you know, just talking about Lincolns. And they're great cars, don't get me wrong, but it's just kind of funny just how that all, you know, came together. But yeah, we were always making fun of him. But it's got to be just that his pacing and that smoothness. I just want to listen to him talk. I just really want to hear what he's got to say and his philosophies. His philosophy of knowing what you're not and then building off of that. It really is kind of eye-opening. So I want to know more. However, here's the rub. It's online, and there are a lot of viewings available October 20th, 21st, and the 24th. You can log on, and the ticket price is £35 for international. So that comes to roughly American, right around $70. But the $70, it does include his book, his new memoirs that will be coming out. So you'll be able to watch the video. Yeah, I didn't see anywhere where you could do any kind of Q&A. That may cost more. And the book, you know, I'm sure it comes autographed, especially for $70. I would hope so. But I just want to hear him speak. I'm sure it'll end up on the YouTubes or some TikTok thing or whatever. It's fine. And I'll wait for the book to hit bookstores so that if he ever does do a book tour, I will have it and have him sign it. But in the meanwhile, if you're a big Matthew McConaughey fan, this is probably like right up your alley, because I was kind of like, you know, I'm all in. I'd like to see it. But for another day. What else is coming up? What else is premiering? Oh, speaking of premieres, this Thursday on the CBS All Access, I know, you already know my opinion on the streaming stuff, is Discovery Season 3. Now, originally, when this first premiered, I wanted to hate it. I really did. I pushed back. I was a gatekeeping cranky nerd. I'll admit it. And I was so wrong. This show and series has been great. It really is good. And of course, you know, Picard set new limits and new boundaries for just how impressive CBS is when they can produce a quality, you know, serial show like this, especially for online. And we know that CBS is talented in making shows, but no fluff, no filler episodes, just straight to the story. Let's knock this out. So Discovery, when it first came on, I wanted to push back. I really did. The Klingons were funky. This happens during the time, you know, before Kirk, and where's the Enterprise? And of course, you cling to what you're familiar with, and completely understandable. Nerds don't like change, but we ask for it all the time. It's really a catch-22 when you think about it. At any rate, this show has not disappointed me. Everything has been so well done and so well thought out that, I mean, there are, of course, holes, and it's trying to figure out which you know, are we doing with the new timeline with Spock going back in time? Is it adjusted because of that? Is this, I mean, the whole Pike storyline with the older Enterprise, Rebecca Romijn as number one, Spock coming in much younger. I mean, the whole first two seasons were probably the most compelling Star Trek story I have seen in a very, very long time. And to say that is, I know, a little shocking to most, but the just the premise, the idea, and it's kind of what we've been asking for from Star Wars. You know, we're tired of the Skywalkers. Give us something new. Give us something different. So we get the Mandalorian, and everybody just eats that up. Same thing with Discovery. We want the Enterprise, but we don't. We want more stories, but we don't want you to mess with what we already know. But the way that they have told the story and these characters, there's only like two that really just kind of piss me off. I mean, Tilly I can do without, and the weepy Spores guy. He's the other one, and I'm just kind of like, eh. But all the characters, Saru is just, I think, one of my favorite aliens. I mean, Doug Jones playing Saru is magic. I mean, that is just, wow, so perfect and so perfect. That's all I got to say. It's perfect. I can't even, there's no other description for it. It's perfect. The new season's Thursday. I know it's on streaming. I know there's other pirate sites you could go find it if you're not getting CBS All Access. If you haven't watched the old episodes, I know you can find them out there. And if you want to get caught up, they're really going into uncharted territory with this season. I don't want to give anything away. If you haven't watched the previous two, or, you know, if you're in the process of watching it, no spoilers, I promise, but watch it. Otherwise, you are thoroughly missing out, because, a lot better than I thought it was going to be. Oh, and by the way, I forgot, Witches for the HBO Max premieres October 22nd. I did know the date. I lied. I'm such a fibber sometimes. And then other show news. There's a lot of show news, actually. A lot of TV stuff kind of hit the fan, and it's very interesting to me. One, of course, is Hulu. Actually, there's two Hulu stories. One is The Orville. Everyone is bugging to find out when Season 3 is going to hit. People are in doubt of Season 3 happening. Seth MacFarlane was on a panel not that long ago and came right out and just said, the Rona's fucked us up, and it is coming soon. It hasn't been canceled, and we know it's been, over a year now since the last time we saw an episode of The Orville, the alternate to Star Trek, if you will. There are some great similarities, and I love that they've, you know, kind of paid homage to Star Trek, and of course, actually having Jonathan Franks direct a few episodes probably didn't hurt any. I know he will not be coming back to direct any episodes for Season 3, which is a bit of a disappointment, but I get it. Seth MacFarlane is saying that it will be soon, and when soon is anyone's guess, because that is just such a relative term. Soon's starting to piss me off. Everything will be back to normal soon. When's soon? Soon's annoying. Soon needs to get its act together and pick a date. Also in Hulu news, this is, you know what? We put the trailer up yesterday for the new Animaniacs series. And, of course, I'm excited. I put on there with when I posted the trailer that this looks absolutely perfect. It is everything that I would expect from a Warner Brothers cartoon. It's updated. It looks sharp, and it has the same kind of wit. However, now the other side of this story has gotten a little strange. Come to find out, now they did say that everybody was coming back. However, that is not entirely true. It has been leaked that the creator, Tom Ruger, and the writing staff that created the first rendition of the Animaniacs back in 1993 is they're not returning. They did not bring any of the writers and the creator back for this reimagining, which I don't know. Now, of course, the creator is all wound up saying, you know, it's all about money, and was explicitly pissed off about how blatant they were in his mind with the trailer and them basically saying we spared no expense, completely pirating off of Jurassic Park. And he thought that that was a shot across the bow in his direction of, yeah, well, we didn't spare any expense, but we're keeping all the money and we're not bringing any of the creative team back that, you know, made this show great. So I don't know. I mean, I can understand from Tom's perspective, that is kind of the rub. We'll bring everybody back, all the voices, everything that made this show click and work and feel, give us the warm feels, and not bring the writers back that made it responsible, or that were responsible for those feels. I don't know. Here's the question, though. And you're willing to respond. You're willing to sit there and scratch your head. Yeah, whatever you like to do. Is their humor dated? Would they be able to have the same impact as they did back in the 90s? Because let's face it, a lot has gone on. There have been changes. Some of the jokes and some of the, I don't know, perspective has definitely changed. The narrative is completely different from the 90s. And I don't know. Maybe they just kind of wanted to get a little bit more fresh material. Yeah, I can see both sides of this. I still would have brought them in. I mean, let's face it. They created this. This was their vision. This was their wagon of joy. And to have it, you know, hijacked like this, kind of shitty. But it's business, and they're saying it's all about money, which, I don't know, somebody had to write it. I don't think they just, you know, sat down and just started shooting lines back at each other just to see what stuck and what was funny and what wasn't. I really don't. Somebody wrote it. Somebody wrote a script. It may not have been the original team, but guaranteed somebody sat down and did this. So we'll see if it's funny. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Is it going to reach its target audience? Is this going to be a win? I mean, Hulu has done some pretty spectacular stuff, I guess. I don't know. Has they? Because I was trying to think of a Hulu series. I mean, anytime that I use Hulu, it's specifically for reruns, or, you know, if I missed a show and I can't get it on the DVR or I'm elsewhere. So I don't know. I'm perplexed. The trailer had all of the right elements to it. Everything seemed like normal to me. There was no, you know, kind of stuttering or anything like that. So I don't know. But we'll see. The date that they have set, I don't think they have set a date. It just says Hulu 2021. Okay. I'm fine with that. And of course, Pinky and the Brain coming back. There are just so many different elements to this that we haven't seen yet. So, again, gatekeeping nerd, or just rightfully, reasonably questionable of what they're doing. Maybe, maybe not. In other TV news, this hurt. This hurts so much because my guilty pleasure of GLOW, the gorgeous ladies of wrestling, that was just such a cartoon show, and it wasn't even a cartoon, has been canceled. I know that they were supposed to come back to finish season 4, I think it was, but with the Rona, Netflix decided to just cut their losses and kill it, which is so sad. I mean, because I remember back in my day, the gorgeous ladies of wrestling was just so over the top and so entertaining. To see them actually build a show off of this was just it was fun. It was just something to distract. I don't ever think that it was meant to be, you know, that serious. I don't even really honestly think it was meant to go four seasons, but it did somehow. And evidently, I'm not the only one, because if they had a reason to bring this back for season two and for season three, I'm sure they're running out of ideas. They're running into time, because GLOW didn't last that long. But it was still fun to watch. It was still entertaining. But, you know, what do I know? But it was still, the show on Netflix was great. It was just so nonsense. And, I mean, the character development and everything that was going on, the subplots, they were pretty entertaining. It was, you know, a little soap opera in a little soap opera. The ladies of wrestling and staff and everything did send out a hearty thank you to the fans and everyone that made the show possible, and they're just as disappointed. They wanted to see some finality to the storylines, to their characters, and I'm sure they wanted to do kind of like the big, you know, farewell, the ride off into the sunset, and, you know, say what happened to the actual characters that, you know, these wrestlers are based off of. So it would have been fun to see, but not surprising in the slightest that it got canned. So Auf Wiedersehen, der GLOW. Oh well, it hurts. Also, speaking of money and having problems, so movies keep pushing dates back, which is fine, and to everyone being safe, and, you know, just to make sure that there's something to come back to in 2021. But the Regal has closed up all its shops again. And I understand why Regal is doing this. I mean, there's no reason to be operating if there's nothing coming out. I mean, you can only circulate older films for so long. Empire Strikes Back is killing it at the box office yet again. And I get it. However, with everyone putting new films off until next year, I mean, we're seeing the tail end. I know The War with Grandpa, or that new Robert De Niro Uma Thurman film, is actually going to come out, much to my surprise. I was a little stunned by that. So AMC decides to buck the trend and say, we're staying open, with a defiant grr. We are staying open. And amongst the reschedule and all that, and with the little war that had them going back and forth with Universal. So, because that was the big thing, because they wanted to go directly to, you know, video on demand, video releases, and have it available in the theaters. So that was an option. They were fine. There was like going to be like a 20-day delay between it hitting theaters and then going into video on demand. But that, I think, has all gone out the window. Everything is now pushed off to 2021. Even Wonder Woman has rumors floating around it that they are going to do a straight video release for that film. But I don't think they're thinking that through. But that's a story for another day. Right now, AMC is looking down a very loaded gun. And they even said that they may run out of money late 2020 or as early as 2021. And are looking to sell off assets. AMC, I never thought we would get to this point, that a theater would be struggling like this. We may see the reemergence of mom-and-pop theaters. Wow, that would be strange. You want to buy a theater, here's your chance. Childhood dream for a few people I know. You can sleep upstairs and run around the projection rooms. I'm curious to see this. I don't want this little bastion of nerddom to disappear, but I honestly don't know what to think at this point. AMC definitely needs to reevaluate, especially if there are no new films. I mean, you're not going to make your money off Tenet, because that's just a strange head-scratching film that I'm still trying to wrap my brain around. And The War with Grandpa, okay, funny, but, you know, definitely not going to be bringing him out too heavily. And with James Bond now moved to next year, Lord knows. I mean, we may see a film as early as January or February, depending upon how things shape up on a social distancing platform. But right now, if you want to go to a theater to try and keep them afloat, I mean, we've gone for a few movies, of course, like Empire, Goonies, Batman. So it's still fun. It's still that same, you know, popcorn feeling, social distancing, all that's in place. So I feel bad. I really am heartbroken over this. So hopefully AMC finds a way to hold on and weather the storm, because we don't see a shoreline anytime soon. Oh, and this just handed to me by our super producer, Brett Leader One. It looks like the Star Trek Las Vegas convention has been waxed as well. That was slated to be at the Rio, which kind of gives us conflicting reports, because I heard the Rio was shut down and kaput. But maybe that information was incomplete. The Star Trek Experience, which... not the Star Trek Experience, that was at the Hilton. Entirely different. The Star Trek Show, which is specifically focused on Star Trek. Tickets aren't unreasonable, but they're pretty hefty, especially for just a Star Trek-focused con. Was slated to be next month in Las Vegas at the Rio. And no more. They haven't released a date, except for that it's coming back. It's probably the same time next year, and still will be at the Rio. Which, again... more questions of, is the Rio open or closed? Dude, best buffet. Oh, I used to love going to the buffet there at the Rio. So good. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. But if you're a Star Trek fan and you were planning on going to that convention in Vegas, you can still go to Vegas. It's open. Just no Star Trek people to hang out with. That's okay. What else? Oh, comic book news, anything? No. I don't want to ruin anything that's going on. Eastman and Laird did post up a very interesting interview that they did as far as what the appeal of old man, quote-unquote, storylines, what the appeal of him is. And he has a really good answer as far as, you know, seeing the final, how does it end? Everyone always wants to know how the story ends. So to see that aspect of it, and of course the unidentified turtle is also one of the big driving components to this. I guess they came up with this story, he says, 30 years ago. And I think that's, I'm trying to remember our interview that we did with him a few years back at Denver Comic Con, if that was the same time frame. But I believe he's right. Of course he's right. It's his story. But he says the appeal is also to see just, you know, how long they have gone, how they've weathered the storm, and just, you know, their last shot at redemption, which for some heroes, I guess that would be kind of difficult. For others, probably not. They definitely have a certain kind of allure, in my opinion. Absolutely. Want to know how the story ends. Absolutely in on where does this go. And I'm curious, because we've already speculated as far as which turtle did make it to the end of the storyline. I honestly think it's probably... do I really want to say? I honestly think it's Mikey. I think Michelangelo is probably the last turtle standing. And he's gone from the happy-go-lucky to the hardened, if I had just done better... been more serious type of approach. No way it's Donnie. Every iteration of Turtles, he always gets smoked. So, and Raphael is always so hot-tempered. He was probably the first to go. Anyway, that's my opinion. Moving along, video game news. Woo! There is tons of stuff, actually. Video games, it is October, which means you get all of the cool downloads and skins, and that is absolutely fun and enjoyable. Overwatch Halloween event is actually starting today, Tuesday, and the skins are already available. The Professor Junkenstein's castle is already up and running. They're so fun to play. I really enjoy Junkenstein's castle, and there are the discount on the skins. So normally, if it's like 3,000, it's down to 1,000. No, 1,400. I forget. No, 3,000. Yeah, 3,000 down to 1,000. So if you've been saving your coins, there's one. There's a Reaper that I've been waiting to buy with the pumpkin head from like Sleepy Hollow. I definitely need to get that one. So I will be online. If you are an Xboxer, I am the Black Adder, the BLKADDER. Send me a friend request. Would love to play with you guys. Working on RDR, of course. The zombie experience is a little frightening. And of course, Gears of War. Gamer to Gamer is doing a special gaming event middle of the month. We put it on our calendar for a Gears face-off. I actually may step out for this. I've contemplated it, and I know I don't like playing in public with other people, but I've been dying to play some Gears with people. My team is gone. They have retired, so I am without members for my Gears team. Kind of sad by that. We had a good run. It's very sad. Anyway, so check that out in our calendar and go download what you can for Overwatch. I still love playing the game. They've got some new characters. There's this one guy. Evidently, he's a magnetic-based character. He looks like the dude out of Phantasm. And he's got these little killer orbs in his hand that kind of float around like Magneto is, you know, manipulating things. It's kind of cool. His skin is probably the most impressive out of the batch that they've released for this season. And, yeah, that one's probably my favorite. The Jolly Roger, I think, is the name of it, but check it out. Also hitting today, is it today? Yeah, Tuesday, October 13th, G.I. Joe Operations Blackout launches on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. So hitting right in the nostalgia button. This new team-based third-person shooter is completely inspired by the toy line and the franchise, and I've watched some screenshots and some playing captures, and oh my god, this looks great. You can play both as Team Joe and Team Cobra in this live-action packed adventure featuring a co-op story, campaign, and player versus player multiplayer. The experience, an original story inspired by the classics 1980-style comics, over 17 campaign missions featuring epic locations like the USS Flag, Cobra headquarters, boss battles. This looks... actually, when I watched it, it kind of gave me the feel of Borderlands a little bit with... the art and the style and the gameplay, but it also has that feel like that Transformers game that they did a couple years ago with like that style. So I mean, this is absolutely enjoyable and right in that 80s niche for me. There are 12 playable characters: Duke, Snake Eyes, Cobra Commander, Destro, Roadblock, Storm Shadow. They don't give any more after that as far as the list. I know I did see Scarlet in there. Baroness was in there. So I'm sure as you complete missions, more and more characters become unlocked, or how they're going to do that in the game, I don't know. You can do it digitally for $39.99 if you want the actual platform. It's the disc. It's $49.99. What else? There are special character skins available for Duke and Cobra Commander, 12 bonus weapon skins, and an exclusive digital art book with the soundtrack. comes with that $49.99 price. So that is absolutely worth it in my book. Just I never thought I would see a G.I. Joe game. This is awesome. And it's based off of the comic, not that mamby-pamby movie. Anyway, I digress. In other news, video game news, actually this is going to be kind of like a stretch over all platforms because I had no idea how ridiculously big this event was going to be. It was announced today that they're bringing two video game launches in the spring of 2021. And these games are for Doctor Who. They're loosely based off of their virtual reality that they kind of experimented with last year that we briefly talked about. Because it wasn't really all that impressive when Private Cheeseburger and I, you know, looked at it and kind of investigated it. It was all right. But now the Edge of Reality and the Lonely Assassins, these two games, one is mobile and the other one, the Edge of Reality is going to be on, oh no, Edge of Reality, excuse me, was the VR experience. The Edge of Time is the new compelling first-person adventure that is going to be hitting your consoles, your PCs, and everything else imaginable. So I'm curious. I'm want to know, how do you make a Doctor Who game? And on top of this, both David Tennant and Jodie Whittaker are voicing their respective doctors in this video game. So I'm curious. The Edge of Reality is for the console, PC, and it extends basically over space and time, built with the current and next generation's consoles in mind. It contains new worlds to explore, new puzzles, new challenges, and new gameplay. With an original Doctor Who story, you will uncover a universe spanning threat as you seek to save reality from a series of time-breaking glitches. Continue the story that began in The Edge of Time and partner with the Doctor to unearth a great mystery. Dun, dun, dun. So, I guess this is all kind of roping into Time Lord Victorious, because there has been two new books launched, their audio dramas with Tom Baker and David Tennant, of course, doing their perspective roles as the doctors. The comic, the two issues are out right now, and there's more to come. There's even like a collected DVD that has different parts from different doctors put together that kind of are a precursor to the Time Lord Victorious, taking different excerpts with Dalek interactions and experiences from different doctors. So it isn't just Tennant. I think there's a Tom Baker, there's a Sylvester McCoy, there's a couple of other like noteworthy heavy Dalek influenced episodes that this kind of affects and goes into Time Lord Victorious. So it's unprecedented how much Doctor Who they have put together for this, and I'm loving it. I know not everyone's a Doctor Who fan, and not everyone may get it, but the novels that they released, really good. I'm enjoying the comic series. If you can find it, like I said, it's only two issues out so far. I think number two hit just last week, so worth the read. And without any Doctor Who going on right now, I mean, I know we'll have the Christmas special here upon us soon, but then I think that's it for a while, because they haven't said anything about if filming has started again, if what we're getting, how it works together, all of that nonsense. So I think this is hitting at the right time for Doctor Who, and it's inspiring to see this massive media expanse put together. It really is. I'm curious how it ends. I'm sure we'll get there eventually, but right now, really enjoying it. So, Doctor Who fans, definitely a must for this. If you're not already on it, yeah, start scrambling. Not everything is out. They're still kind of slowly dropping, but more and more things continue to be revealed. All right. Well, that actually covers all of the news that I had down for this week. Everything else is in a constant state of flux. Rumors are all over the place. A couple of rumors. Doctor Strange is supposed to be joining Spider-Man 3. Rags Morales will not be introduced. We are supposedly getting Jamie Foxx back as Electro, which sucks because I hated his Electro. Why? Evidently, WandaVision, there's a character that looks like Black Widow. It's not. And what else? I guess we'll be hearing more on when Robert Pattinson is returning for Batman filming. But that's still up in the air. Yeah, there's just some really weird stuff going on out there. But it's to be expected. Halloween is knocking on the door, so don't know if we'll have anything special going on. I know that Outworld Brewing is doing a special trivia night on October 30th. I will be there participating and suited up for that particular run of trivia. Should be fun. I don't know how I'm going to sit down with a proton pack, but, you know, hey, it can come off. The other side, we'll see, yeah, well, there'll be a couple of surprises, things that'll be hitting the page. Make sure you follow us. Thank you so much for listening. Share us, like us, tell your friends about us. Yeah, because we're funny. We're here for you, working hard. Anyway, in the meantime, run fast, laugh hard, and always be kind.